So glad you're back with us for another GoldSeek.com Radio Golden Nugget segment. Today's special guest, Fabian Calvo from thenotehouse.us. Fabian Calvo manages millions of dollars of distressed mortgages each year at thenotehouse.us. Welcome back, Fabian Calvo.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Chris. It's always great to be with you.
Let's begin with the housing recovery in quotation marks. You know, since 2010, the media is portraying a rosy scenario. It may not be as sanguine, though, as folks are saying. Housing formations are down over the past 5 years, and from the recession, the number of households established is plummeting. That's almost a million per year from the previous 7 years, if we use that as our base. 4 million additional households that we would have normally seen formed simply evaporated. So the pool of first-time buyers is dwindling here. What do you think?
Well, there's no question that because of the lending guidelines that were issued, particularly after the 08 crash, that, of course, lending came to a screeching halt, and borrowers that used to be able to get financing relatively easy were basically out of the market. You know, I still am holding, Chris, to my forecast, and I'm beginning to see the evidence of this everywhere, that this is beginning to change. And one just needs to look at recent FHA guidelines for, A, they want to reduce the risk that banks take on when they make loans, risky loans, and having the risk of having to buy back that loan unless that loan, in case that loan goes into foreclosure. This is one of the main indicators that actually one of the main things that led to the last real estate bubble was that, you know, banks basically got off the hook with creating these new financial instruments to subprime borrowers or even credit-worthy borrowers and being able to have access in the secondary market to sell those loans very quickly. So it was a fuel, literally fuel added to the fire. Well, that's already beginning to happen now. We know going back to 2010, 2011, the Obama administration lobbying the banks to basically reduce lending restrictions to subprime borrowers. Wells Fargo's leading the way with this. So, you know, I often say that all stories are pretty much connected, particularly economic stories. You know, today we find out the Fed tapers another $10 billion. And I'm convinced that they're hanging their hat on a wave of cheap money loans to create the additional illusion that the economy is doing well, particularly the housing market's doing well, because pretty much every Fed chief, the last three or four Fed chiefs, have always said, look, one of the main things about the U.S. economy is the housing market. If the housing market's doing well, you know, there's this notion that people have that they're wealthy because they're sitting on equity. And I think that's where this is heading.
If we turn up the magnification of the market, I mean, we do see nearly 10 million home debtors still upside down on their mortgages. They think they're sitting on equity, but in reality, they owe more than the home is worth. Pull them out of the equation because they're stuck. They can't sell. They can't buy. They are stuck in that home. Tell me what you think about 10 million folks underwater. Is this going to right itself or will the ship capsize?
Well, they definitely, I think, are the central planners are trying to fuel what they've done basically in the equity market, which we've seen that was revealed this last weekend, something you and I and this audience has known now for years, that central banks were pumping in money to basically fuel the equities market, and we find out the number is close to $30 trillion. Well, the same thing's going to happen with real estate. And so I think for those underwater, take a state like Florida, 20% to 25% of every home in Florida is in foreclosure. That's not counting the shadow inventory or what's called vampire REOs, properties that are basically just sitting on the market, vacant, they're just sitting there. So I think that the central planners think, you know, if we continue to fuel the bubble, we'll be able to get these people out of this situation by having the manipulation in the market have the price of their home increase. And, you know, that's not only a very risky move, it's really an insane move because it's contrary to how a free market should function. But I think this is all, it's the equities manipulation I talked about, the real estate manipulation, I think many would agree all markets are manipulated. And in my studies of history, looking at other crises with economies or currencies that have gone through a crisis, this is really symbolic of an end-of-the-road life cycle, almost, of an economy. It's that the central planners run amok, and they basically think they can control everything by tweaking a lever here or making another, you know, moving something else over here, and we know that that's just going to fail miserably.
You know, I think you made a great point there. Folks don't think of housing as a Ponzi scheme because, as you said, well, they're sitting on equity. It really does take a pool of folks who are convinced that if I buy this place, you know, it's going to keep moving higher. This is a number I find startling. When folks are foreclosed on, and there were tens of millions of them, or let's say at least 5 to 10 million, they are expected to come back into the market and buy homes. But only 1 in 4 ever buys a home again. They rent for the rest of their lives. What is it that they've learned that maybe some of us need to learn?
Well, I think, if anything, they've learned that there is really predatory financing out there. I mean, you know, I'm a big believer in personal responsibility, and I'm somebody who believes that, you know, the life you have, by and large, is created by the actions or the behaviors you have. But that doesn't mean there's not rampant fraud and criminals out there that take advantage of people. In the case of a lot of subprime loans, or even for that matter, Chris, credit-worthy borrowers, that, you know, they don't really know all the fine print. They don't, but they're sold these loans by whether mortgage brokers or a lot of mortgage bankers. And it's totally just, you know, it's really a bait and switch, the classic bait and switch. It's, hey, your payment will be X. It'll be less than your rent payment. You can't go wrong. And then a year later, they're looking at a double or tripling of their mortgage payment. So I think, you know, that someone's burned in a fraud like that. It pretty much, you know, burns pretty deep. And I think that's what those borrowers know. But, I mean, when we talk about the greater picture of loss of confidence, I mean, I think that really trust is pretty much the biggest thing in any financial market for it to function properly. And, you know, I every day I see more evidence that trust is going out the window. But people need to still remember that there's still a large section of the population that buys into the gimmick of, hey, you know, you can easily qualify for a loan. Look at the subprime car loans for GM. I mean, 80% plus are subprime loans, and people come in and they don't even think about, hey, maybe I own my car free and clear. I don't have a car payment, but I can now go in and get a really qualify for a loan regardless of my credit score and have more debt. They don't really think it through, and I think that's a real big problem. And ultimately, you know, as much like I said, a lot of that comes down to people's understanding of not just financial markets, but just of how to lead a life that is, you know, dealing with your financial reality.
You know, and I think financial reality and success and wherewithal all hinge upon those decisions that you alluded to. And if interest rates are low, well, it only makes sense to purchase something, right? Held near zero here by the Federal Reserve for the longest stretch, I think, on record. And nevertheless, we still see signs of cracks in the foundation of the real estate market.
Well, Chris, let me just say it is, and this is what I've talked about for years now, which is, you know, real estate, like stocks, is really we see a collusion between central planners, the media, which is owned by the big Wall Street banks, and people within government that collude to put out this notion of the American dream is owning a home, getting into debt, or that, you know, you have to have a 401k, that's the way you save for retirement. And it's full-blown propaganda. And, you know, I think a lot of people are getting past that and recognizing that they've been sold a bag of goods, but there's still, I think, a majority that buy into that. And look, we're sitting on the millennial generation that is saddled with student loan debt. Fannie Mae recently did a survey about millennials, and basically they said the main obstacle was the student loan debt to stop them from buying a new home. Well, you know, like any central planning government that is, you know, they always try to fix the problem. So for them, fixing the problem is let's give them more cheap money so then they can go out and buy a home. And the millennial generation rivals the baby boomer generation in size. And so, look, if you're able to unleash credit to, whether they qualify for it or not, to that generation to go out and buy homes, I mean, you're talking about a gigantic boom in real estate prices. Again, let me just be clear. This is full-blown manipulation, but I think this is where it's headed.
No, exactly. And I just read an article today by Charles Hughes Smith, one of my favorite pundits in the area of two minds. And he points out that those millennials that you pointed to will not be able to purchase homes at least until 2020 due to the staggering debt levels. Another hurdle towards full-blown recovery, I guess. According to the metrics, I mean, we have seen unemployment or the national unemployment rate plunge to around the Fed's target level. So according to the Fed, we are right on target. And as you know, they pulled the plug on even more tapering. So another 10, I believe, billion tapering per month. Everything would seem as though that things are getting better. But you know, yes, there are more jobs out there, at least on paper. But here's, I think, the crux of it that not many people are catching. And that is that there just aren't the high-paying jobs we saw in the mid-2000s, early to mid-2000s. And it's those high-paying jobs with benefits and perquisites that I think make the opportunity of buying a home seem more reasonable to most people. What do you think?
Well, you know, you touched on a lot of good points there. First, I think that history will show, I'm in the camp that the Fed on paper and in their official minutes come out and say that they're going to taper. You know, we look at what happened with Belgium just at the end of last year, where they were, you know, they bought the equivalent of, I think it was 40% of their GDP in 1 month in U.S. Treasuries. And many believe, including myself, that the Fed literally laundered money to them for they can keep buying debt. Now, we also talked about interest rates at an all-time low. How can the Fed possibly keep interest rates at an all-time low if they're not fueling the bond market by buying more bonds? Because the question begs, who's buying the bonds? I mean, we know that China hasn't been buying as many bonds, and we know there was a report not too long ago, and I think a lot of this is propaganda, saying, well, you know, there was a big surge in buyers of T-bills. You know, I'm just not believing it, and I think just like I've been on record and so many others, Chris, that all of these markets are manipulated, and then we find out more evidence. You know, the gold market's manipulated. We have banks that get caught manipulating gold. We have central banks that are caught injecting $30 trillion into global equities markets. We'll find, history will show, the Fed is one of the biggest Ponzi schemes in the history of mankind. And I think that, you know, when those cracks begin to unfold, that's when trust will be completely lost. So, you know, that's what I have to say with respect to this notion that the Fed is tapering. With respect to the overall economy, you're absolutely right. The job picture is grim by the standards of what you get paid. And I think that there's a lot of things that are happening in the world we live in today. One of them is that inflation, as we saw just consumer pricing in May, shot through the roof with, you know, basic essential food essentials. So working at a 9-to-5 consumer-based type job can barely get by. And that's only going to continue as we see this disparity between the people at the top, the entrepreneurs and the business owners, and then the people at the very top, the 1% of 1%, which are the crony capitalists, and then everybody else at the bottom. And, you know, I think that's why I often talk about, Chris, getting out of this job paradigm, because the job paradigm is collapsing. I don't believe we're going to have the jobs come back that our grandparents and that our parents enjoyed, the ones that you speak of.
If you're going to try to go that route, though, the traditional route, you're really going to have to be specific. You're going to have to look in areas that are recession-proof and technology-proof to a lesser extent. For instance, healthcare, a solid area with the baby boomers, over 60 million folks retiring from 46 to 64. That's going to be a huge theme here in the next 10, 15, 20 years. So healthcare, of course, and it requires substantial investment in training on your part, which a lot of people just aren't prepared for here. But I'd like to continue with this theme of the echo bubble, call it the housing bubble 2.0. Many folks have alluded to recently that this has been driven entirely by all cash purchases. I know this is your forte. Of course, there's also that Fed-engineered interest rate related aspect there. Why don't you tell us why this bubble could fail, how it could do so, and what that means for the typical listener?
Well, it is definitely a cash bubble that's being created. So basically, and I keep going back to this because this is really indicative of what's happening in housing. Again, we see central banks buying $30 trillion in equities. Well, you know, what happens is a lot of the banks that sit on the board of these central banks, or that own these central banks, they print a big, chunk of money, a big tranche of money, and they skim off the top. So if they print a trillion, they're going to take a couple hundred billion, and they're going to go run to go buy hard assets. And in this case, many of them are buying real estate all across the country, all across the world, but particularly in the U.S., where Wall Street has now become the biggest landlord. So without that injection of capital in the housing market, our housing market would be much more dire even than it is right now. Now, this goes to my theory, and we've talked about this before, that these people are buying because they have an exit strategy, and their exit strategy is to unload a lot of these properties to buyers who qualify for financing. Let me give you another thing that these people are doing, that are these big Wall Street banks. They're buying, and I'm talking, Chris, thousands, tens of thousands of properties on a monthly basis. A lot of this inventory isn't even accounted for by the National Association of Realtors, which we know, and people can just check this out themselves, is notorious for fudging the numbers and has double-counted sales in the past. But a lot of the cash sales that are done when somebody buys 2,000 homes at a time or buys 5,000 homes at a time, that's not accounted for in the National Association of Realtors statistics. So those are truly off-market type transactions. So these Wall Street banks are buying these homes. They're doing what's called, many of them are doing what's called basically a land contract or owner financing, where they tell a buyer that has poor credit, you can get in for $500 down, your monthly payment, your interest rate might be 15-16%, but we'll still make it less than $50 less, $25 less than the average rent in the area. Well, they're bundling up these new mortgages that they're writing, and they're now selling those as securities. So this is uncharted territory for the real estate market. We know that a lot of some of the bondholders or some of the companies that rate bonds are beginning to rate these so-called land contracts or new mortgages that are being written. And I think a collapse in those could really destroy the U.S. housing market for decades to come, quite frankly. This is one of the most underreported things going on in the financial market currently, and it's really, it could be a potential ticking time bomb.
What I'd like to do is give people some key walkaway points, acid test, so that people can say, you know what, I've got to move into a new community, or I'm interested in purchasing a home. What can I do quickly to assess the true intrinsic value, the fundamental value, the fire sale value? And even if I know nothing about the community, just take the going rental rate, look at Craigslist, average the houses that are similar, take that monthly rate and multiply it times 100 to give a ballpark idea. And then if it has a pool or a beautiful view or a quiet neighborhood or a gated community, or, you know, we add the perquisites on top of that. This community I live in, which is a very exclusive community, you can't find a home anywhere near 100 times the rental rate. And I think that means homes are overpriced.
Definitely, the rent multipliers have been used for many times. I think one of the things to be weary about it is the following. Is I think in certain well-established metro markets, that could potentially work and be an indicator that prices could be overvalued. However, in some markets where you have landlords that are doing whatever they can to try to fill up the units, they might advertise the rent 15-20% higher, and then what they do is they basically give concessions in rent. So you get 3 months off, 2 months off, but you're going to pay this higher rent when you come in. So that distorts the market significantly. For me, I think here's a few things that I would say. If you're looking to buy a new home and you're going to take on debt to buy that new home, and you're going to be able to qualify for a 3% loan, 3.5% loan, and you're going to live in that home long term, I would take that deal because, quite frankly, I don't think we'll ever see rates that low again in history when the big crash does come and when the Ponzi scheme is exposed. So that would be one of the first things I'd say. The other thing, too, is that if you have the access capital to buy a property cash, and I personally look at it as a hard asset that you can diversify from, but people need to understand they need to get away from different types of auctions or different types of bidding wars. If there's, for me, one of my rules for buying any property is I will never, ever bid against somebody else. I'll never do it because I don't want to get caught up in the euphoria of, trying to basically compete with other people. I mean, Chris, one of the largest auction sites, auction.com online, has, in my, based on my, in my opinion, in my firm's deep research and what we believe, has built in algorithms where they themselves bid on behalf of the sellers they represent to do just what we've talked about, to build that euphoria. So, you know, again, there's all these different types of deceptions that are used in the marketplace to distort the market. So, you know, again, and the last thing I would say with respect to regarding the real estate market, and just something to really consider, and, you know, having a place to live that you can call home, I think has some value to it. To best find that value, make sure that you're not overpaying for the property by seeing, well, what are comparable sales? What's been the sales comparables over the last 12 months? And pick the ones, obviously, that are 30 days out, 60 days out. But don't go by what's on the market, or don't go by the highest comp sales. I like to always go by the lowest comparable sales and find out the story behind why did that one sell, compared to the property that I'm looking at.
Fabian, you say that your work shows Fannie Mae and some of these other major government-sponsored entities or enterprises, they could be holding huge inventories in excess of 1 million houses off the market.
Yeah, I mean, we put the number anywhere between 7 and 10 million, which is better than it was several years back, which we had estimated over 20 million homes on the market. So yeah, 7 to 10 million. And here's the thing: with a lot of these properties by Fannie or government-sponsored other entities out there that hold real estate, like the FDIC and others, we find that the majority of those properties are left over from 2007, 2008 from the crash. And by the time Fannie Mae gets around to those properties actually hitting the general public, hitting the market like this one you're talking about now, it could take 3 to 4 years. Now, in between that time period, it's very likely a private equity firm or a hedge fund or a Wall Street firm has come in and bought that property. So those are the type of sales many times that people will see. I mean, not to mention there weren't people that made good decisions and bought in 09 and got great deals on stuff, and now they're able to sell for 2-3 times the amount. Those aren't all Wall Street. But by and large, that's why you're seeing properties that sold in 08 or 09 for so cheap, and then today we see prices 3, 4, 5 times that, is because it's properties that have never hit the market in the last 6 years. And that's one of the biggest factors that I think are driving that.
But let's talk about the implication. Let's extrapolate forward here. Is this huge seawall of inventory going to hit the market? Or how can I get in that action? Or is it only hedge funds and institutions that can get a piece of it?
Well, I mean, listen, with respect to the latter question, I work with people every single day. You may know, Chris, I basically hold live events and education on real estate investing, and I train people all the time that are find where to tap this type of inventory and where to go to try to find it, because it's out there. A lot of it's public information. So, I think it's really kind of having this mentality of being a detective. Now, to the first point of your question, is what happens if the inventory hits the market? Well, I don't think the inventory will hit the market all at once. If it did, it would absolutely collapse prices overnight. And this is where I go back to this collusion between media, government agencies and politicians, and the big banks, where you constantly hear, I mean, how many times have you not heard, inventory is tight, there's no inventory, and that's why prices are going up? Well, that is total propaganda, completely not true. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of off-market inventory, and so what the big banks and what Fannie and some of these other big Wall Street players do is they trickle out the inventory, they control the supply, and then they boost the propaganda to really fuel that demand. And that's why in many markets you see people being able to pay more or are paying more for these homes, because they buy into that propaganda. Now, here's the big point here, is that when they unleash the cheap credit in waves, like I believe that they soon will, I've made the call they'll do this after the midterm election that's coming up. They started to do it before. You could potentially see prices go absolutely buck wild. It's total manipulation. But, we know the gold market's manipulated. We know the stock market's manipulated. It doesn't mean that, some people listening may not invest in those different markets. Real estate's the same way, and I think there's opportunity out there for educated investors.
Tell folks what they can find out at the notehouse.us.
Yeah, the notehouse.us is my private equity firm, and they can go there and get some more information about my firm or To find out more about myself, they can just go to fabiancalvo.me. Either one will point them in the right direction and answer a lot of their a lot of additional questions they may have.
Excellent. We're going to look forward to having you back on GoldSeek.com radio.
It's always great to be with you, Chris. Keep up the great work. Love listening to the interviews, and thanks for having me on.